Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So we're continuing our reading from the 8th chapter of the 10th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam. Today's text should be 43. Yes. Ittam vidita tattvayam gopikayam sa ishvaraha vaishnavim vyatanon mayam putra snehamayim vibhu ittam vidita tattvayam gopikayam sa ishvaraha vaishnavim vyatanon mayam putrasneha mayim vibhu ittam vidita tattvayam gopikayam sa ishvaraha vaishnavim vyatanon mayam putrasnehamayim vibhu ittam vidita tattvayam gopikayam sa ishvaraha vaishnavim vyatanon mayam putrasneha maying vibhu. Please chant. Ittam vidita tattvayam ittam vidita tattvayam gopikayam sa ishvaraha vaishnavim vyatanon maya putrasneha mayim vibhu. Ittam vidita tattvayam gopikayam sa ishvaraha vaishnavim vyatanon mayam putrasneha mayim vibhu. Vaishnavis, ittam vidita tattvayam gopikayam sa ishvaraha vaishnavim vyatanon mayam putrasneha mayim vibhu. Ittam vidita tattvayam gopikayam sa ishvaraha vaishnavim vyatanon mayam putrasneha mayim vibhu. So, synonyms for this verse, ittam, in this way. Vidita tattvayam, when she understood the truth of everything philosophically. Gopikayam, unto Mother Yashoda. Saha, the Supreme Lord. Ishvaraha, the Supreme Controller. Vaishnavim, Vishnumaya or Yogamaya. Vyatanot, expanded. Mayam, Yogamaya. Putrasnehamayim, very much attached because of maternal affection for her son. Vibhu, the Supreme Lord. Srila Prabhupada's translation for this verse. Mother Yashoda, by the grace of the Lord, could understand the real truth. But then again, the Supreme Master, by the influence of the internal potency, Yogamaya, inspired her to become absorbed in intense maternal affection for her son. Please repeat. Mother Yashoda, by the grace of the Lord, could understand the real truth. But then again, the Supreme Master, by the influence of the internal potency, Yogamaya, inspired her to become absorbed in intense maternal affection for her son. Srila Prabhupada's purport, pretty short one today. Although Mother Yashoda understood the whole philosophy of life, at the next moment she was overwhelmed by affection for her son by the influence of Yogamaya. Unless she took care of her son Krishna, she thought, how could he be protected? She could not think otherwise, and thus she forgot all her philosophical speculations. This forgetfulness is described by Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur as being inspired by the influence of Yogamaya. Mohana sadharmyan mayam. Materialistic persons are captivated by Mahamaya, whereas devotees, by the arrangement of the spiritual energy, are captivated by Yogamaya. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimati Bhaktivedanta Swamini Tinamine Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavani Paschachadeshtarne Om Agyana Tamarandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Unmilitam Jena Tasmaya Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobishtang Stapitang Jena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Sopadantikam Bandehang Shri Guru Shri Tapada Kamalam Shri Guru and Vaishavangsha Shri Rupam Sagadatam Sahagana Raganatan Vatam Tang Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakan Vatang Sha Hey Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dhina Bandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namosate Tapta Kanchana Gorangi Radhe Vrindabaneshri Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Pancha Kopaturubya Shah Kripa Sindhubya Evacha Patitanang Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasari Gaur Bhaktavrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare. So very important here, it's noted, Prabhupada says that Mother Yashoda understood philosophically, not just by what she was seeing. In his class touched on the different types of evidence that we use for understanding things: pratyaksha, direct evidence; anuman, inference; and ultimately shabda. There are others, but those three are prominent. Shabda means hearing from authority. So when one understands things philosophically by hearing from an authority, that's called shastra chakshusha. In the material world, we have science chakshusha. Just like we use the example of the sun, that by your eyes you see the sun is a little disk in the sky. So they will use the same example. We see a little disk in the sky, but we understand scientifically that it's a very large planet, thousands of times larger than the Earth. So we understand from hearing from authority that the sun is larger than the earth. We don't necessarily take their scientific so-called proof, because as I've said in many classes, it's always changing. They present one thing as science, and then later on they discover that they were wrong, and then they present something else as science. So what do you hold on to? Where? So we hold on to Shastra. For example, again, in the scientific world, they will make fun of the religionists because you guys believe in miracles. God has done so many miracles. But they also use the term miracle if you read their literature. They call it evolutionary miracles. Miracles of evolution. Things they can't explain, they say miracles of evolution. For instance, in our own bodies, every day we ingest so many different types of foodstuffs, from pineapple to pumpkin to halva, and some or other, the right chemistry is there in the stomach to break that down into the nutrients that are then distributed throughout the body. So what came first? The halva, the pumpkin, or the chemistry to digest it? What came first? The chemistry came first and there was no halva, there was no pumpkin. What did it digest? Or the halva pumpkin came first and went in and nothing was there to digest it? You see? Some or other, by evolutionary miracle, everything works out nicely. Everything works out nicely by evolutionary miracles. There's the eucalyptus tree with leaves that are practically indigestible, if not poisonous to most people. But then the koala bears, they eat them, and that's practically all they eat. So what came first? The koala bear with the desire to eat the eucalyptus leaf or the eucalyptus leaf? What came first? How did they work out this relationship? Evolutionary miracle. You see? So they believe in miracles, but these are evolutionary miracles. You guys believe in God and some God miracles, you know, walking on water and all this kind of stuff. Ah, but evolutionary miracles, oh yes, we can go on talking about those all day long. So we are being trained to see through the eyes of Scripture, through the eyes of spiritual authorities. And our spiritual authority is Srila Prabhupada. So this entire pastime that we're hearing, this 10th canto, began with the advent of Lord Krishna. Even before that, Mother Bhumi was feeling overburdened by the unnecessary force of demoniac kings. And that is still going on today. People are very much worried that our president-elect is already talking about increasing the budget for stocking up more nuclear arms. America has about 2,000 nuclear warheads already, and he's talking about increasing them, making our army more efficient and spending more money on defense like that. Unnecessary. Unnecessary. And this is what overburdens Mother Earth and what overburdened her 5,000 years ago. So she approached Lord Brahma, and he, all of them, along with all the demigods, went to speak to Lord Vishnu. Now, interestingly, even on the higher level of existence, like on a demigod level, they did not hear Lord Vishnu's message to Lord Brahma. Lord Brahma went into meditation, he got the message, and then he spoke to the demigods and told them what the message was. Huh? Isn't it? Interesting. So sometimes on the human level we're saying, if there is God, why doesn't he speak to me? So there's a nice cartoon I've seen recently on Facebook where the guy's saying, if you're there, God, speak to me. And out of the clouds comes a hand with Bhagavad Gita. So God is speaking to us. He's given us Bhagavad Gita and so many other scriptures, but we don't want to hear. We think we're so important that if there is a God, he should come to me personally and speak to me. Who are we? Who are we that God should come and speak to us personally? Even the demigods, he didn't speak personally. Mother Bhumi didn't go directly to Lord Vishnu and ask. She went to Lord Brahma. He went with them to the shore of the ocean of milk, sat in trance, meditation. Message came to him, and then he told the demigods what the message was. And because they accept Lord Brahma's authority, they did what he said. They followed his instruction. So similarly, our connection to Krishna is Srila Prabhupada. We should hear from him, and whatever he says, we should do. And we should not think ourselves so intelligent that we can go above Srila Prabhupada, which I find is happening more and more. Srila Prabhupada has written very clearly statements about our existential position. But we don't accept. Some Bhakta Burfi walks through the door and says, you know, I read a book by such and such Acharya. Oh, that I want to hear. And then I go and read that book and it says something a little different from Prabhupada, and then now I'm confused, or I want to take that because it resonates more with my what I think is truth. Who are we? This truth is coming down since time immemorial. From Krishna to Brahma, Narada, Vyasa is coming down. It's come to Srila Prabhupada. Whatever he presents to us, we should accept. Why do we think we have the intelligence and the authority to step over Prabhupada and, oh, Prabhupada said something, but it stated different elsewhere, so I believe that. Who are we? So I'm going to give you a very, very clear example of that. In the beginning of this pastime, again in the Advent, when Lord Brahma is transmitting this message, he sat in trance. And he said, Vasudeva Grihe Sakshat Bhagavan Purushakpara. Vasudeva Grihe, in the house of Vasudeva, Sakshat, personally, Bhagavan Purushakpara. Bhagavan, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the original person, who is transcendental. He is going to appear. So this is Lord Brahma's statement. Somebody, one of the so-called intelligent demigods, could say, I don't believe that. You know, why in the house of Vasudeva? Why not my house? Why not? You know, you can't question the authority. Lord Brahma sat down, he got the message, and he said, Vasudeva Grihe, in Vasudeva's house, personally, the Supreme Personality of God is going to appear. So that purport to that verse, this is 10.1.22, I think, or 23. We have to hear what Prabhupada said and accept what Prabhupada says. So let me see if I can find that quickly. Now what's the next verse? Yeah. Vasudeva Grihe Sakshat Bhagavan Purushakpara Janishate Tat Priyartam Sambhavantu Sura Sturiyaha. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna, who has full potency, will personally appear as the son of Vasudeva. Therefore, all the wives of the demigods should also appear in order to satisfy him. Now, Prabhupada's purport. And this is where some so-called more intelligent followers of Prabhupada are questioning Prabhupada's statements. Prabhupada says, in Bhagavad Gita, chapter 4, text 9, the Lord says, Takta dehang punarjanma naiti mameti. After giving up the material body, the devotee of the Lord returns home back to Godhead. Is there anything unclear about that? Returns home back to Godhead. This is Prabhupada's statement to us. No matter what anybody else says, we're supposed to be Prabhupada Anugas. We're following Srila Prabhupada. You can't take what you like from Prabhupada and discard what you don't like or what doesn't fit in what you heard from elsewhere. Then you're not a Prabhupada Anuga. Then you're being more intelligent than Prabhupada. Prabhupada said, Krishna didn't speak Bhagavad Gita and leave it for some so-called intelligent philosopher to give their opinion. He spoke it what he meant. As it is, we have to accept it as it is. We can't interpret and give our own version, or because I read some other Purana and what Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita doesn't fit in with that, therefore, you know, I'm going to go with what's stated in the Purana. No. Krishna spoke Bhagavad Gita. He says, I am the Supreme Personality of Godhead. You are my eternal servant, Arjuna. This is how I want you to approach me. This is what you should do. Whatever Krishna says there, you have to accept. He's speaking. So similarly, when Prabhupada writes his books, whatever it says there, you have to accept. We don't have the authority or the right to say, I accept this line, but this doesn't fit in what I heard from some other so-called sadhu or some other Purana, therefore I don't accept that. No. No, we don't have that authority. And I'm really pushing this because we're all getting old, Prabhupada's disciples, and where we're gone, God help us. I don't know. So, Prabhupada continues. This means that the devotee is first transferred to the particular universe where the Lord is at that time staying to exhibit his pastimes. Got that? There are innumerable universes, and the Lord is appearing in one of these universes at every moment. Therefore, his pastimes are called Nitya Lila, eternal pastimes. The Lord's appearance as a child in the house of Devaki takes place continuously in one universe after another. Therefore, the devotee is first transferred to that particular universe where the pastimes of the Lord are current. Meaning us. We're being trained in Krishna consciousness. We're being trained to be devotees of the Lord. So the general principle is that after we leave our bodies in this life, we'll be transferred to a universe where Krishna's pastime is taking place and we'll be further trained. As stated in Bhagavad Gita, even if a devotee does not complete the course of devotional service, he enjoys the happiness of the heavenly planets where the most pious people dwell, and then takes birth in the house of a Shuchi or Shriman, a pious Brahmana or a wealthy Vaishya. Shuchi nam Shrimatam gehe yoga brashi bijayate. So if we look around our society, we can see quite a few devotees, disciples of Prabhupada, took birth in very, very wealthy families. It's not by accident. They were practicing previously, didn't complete the course, had some strong material desires. So Krishna says, okay, you take birth in this family where you can have all your material desires satisfied and see that that's not going to satisfy you ultimately, and then take the devotional service. Thus, a pure devotee, even if unable to execute devotional service completely, is transferred to the upper planetary system where pious people reside. From there, if his devotional service is complete, such a devotee is transferred to the place where the Lord's pastimes are going on. Herein it is said, Sambhavantu Sura Sriyaha. Sura Sri, the women of the heavenly planets, were thus ordered to appear in the Yadu dynasty in Vrindavan to enrich the pastimes of Lord Krishna. These Sura Sri, when further trained to live with Krishna, would be transferred to the original Goloka Vrindavan. During Lord Krishna's pastimes within this world, the Surasri were to appear in different ways in different families to give pleasure to the Lord, just so that they would be fully trained before going to the eternal Goloka Vrindavan. With the association of Lord Krishna, either at Dwarkarpuri, Mathurapuri, or Vrindavan, they would certainly return home back to Godhead. Among the Surasri, the women of the heavenly planets, there are many devotees, such as the mother of the Upendra incarnation of Krishna. It was such devoted women who were called for in this connection. So Prabhupada has made it exceedingly clear. We are supposed to follow this path to qualify ourselves to go back to home, back to Godhead. And people will trot out all kinds of statements they find elsewhere to try to confuse you. But we are meant again to take this philosophy to see the world through the vision that Prabhupada is handing us. We don't have the authority or the intelligence to go beyond Srila Prabhupada. If you do, God bless you. I don't. So whatever Prabhupada says, this is what I'm holding on to. And we're meant to do that. Prabhupada stressed that. Krishna did not leave anything for somebody to give their opinion. So similarly, Srila Prabhupada did not leave anything for us to give our opinion. You take his opinion. And if you don't like it, then you have to attach yourself to some other line where the opinion matches your viewpoint. But you can't say you're in Prabhupada's line, you're a follower of Prabhupada or Prabhupada's disciple, but you're finding some other conclusion. That does not sit with Prabhupada's own vision. Prabhupada said, Krishna dictated these books to me. I didn't write them. That's why I like to read them, Prabhupada said. So we're going against Krishna's dictation. This is what Krishna wants us to hear and what he wants us to follow. The question becomes, if you don't accept that, because there are some that say, well, there are a class of souls that were always outside of the spiritual world and then they can get a chance to go to the spiritual world. So my question to such people is this. Then you're saying that Nitya Siddha doesn't have any meaning then. Because once they go to the spiritual world, even if you say it's the first time, they were never there, they were here in the material world, they got trained up, now they've been sent to the spiritual world. Do they walk around with a sign saying, I used to be in the material world? No, certainly you're not going to say that. That means all the people in the spiritual world, whether they were there and never left or they came for the first time according to your vision, they're all considered Nitya Siddha. So then what does Nitya mean? Nitya means eternal. You see, you cannot make a distinction between anyone in the spiritual world. They're all perfect, they're all eternal servants of the Lord. So if you're saying that some souls start out in the material side of the equation and then they get sent to the spiritual world for the first time, are they eternally seen that way? That they were never there in the first place and now they're here and for the rest of eternity? No, it doesn't make any sense. Prabhupada's presentation is that we were with Krishna, we were in pastimes in the spiritual world, we voluntarily left, and now we're getting a chance to go back to home, back to God. That is a presentation of Srila Prabhupada. If it doesn't make sense to you, if something else makes more sense, then go where that is being presented. That's not what Prabhupada is presenting. Prabhupada is presenting going back to home, back to Godhead. Go out and preach and give people an opportunity to go back to home, back to Godhead. Not to go to Godhead for the first time. Go back to home, back to Godhead. So, Mother Yashoda is setting the example. She's seeing philosophically, not just relying on her senses. And we're being trained to do the same, to see philosophically, see the world through the eyes of Shastra, Shastra Chakshusha, and that vision is delivered to us by Srila Prabhupada. It is honed by Srila Prabhupada if we read his books, read his purports. Very, very, our intelligence becomes sharpened by hearing from Srila Prabhupada. And we shouldn't have any doubt. If we have any doubts in Srila Prabhupada, then again, something is wrong with us, not with Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada is perfect, pure devotee of the Lord, sent just the more Saint Pati Bhakta, the perfect person to lead the other aspiring bhaktas and bhaktins back to home, back to Godhead. And we should hold on to his dhoti tightly, and he'll take us back, back to home, back to Godhead. We'll stop here. If there are any questions, comments. Yes, Neela Madhava Prabhu.
And if you don't like what Srila Prabhupada says, then are you not in Krishna consciousness?
Well, we all have free will. So you're at liberty. Even when Lord Chaitanya was on this planet, not everybody was in Lord Chaitanya's camp. There were other so-called Vaishnavas devotees that were in other camps. You always have that freedom. So similarly, if somebody is on this planet right now and they're attracted to Krishna consciousness, the chanting of Hare Krishna, but they don't like the Srila Prabhupada branch of the tree, they can find some other branch. You're at liberty to do that. We don't go out there and tell everybody, you must come to ISKCON, you must. No, you want to go to some other organization and follow some other whatever. But what I'm adamantly against is people who say they're in ISKCON, that they are followers of Prabhupada, but they're presenting always some other philosophy from somewhere else. That is not allowed. That is cheating. That is cheating. Then you're not representing Prabhupada. You're not being honest. It's just like when Prabhupada was in Hawaii that time, there was a big fight between the management of the temple and some other devotees who didn't like the managers, so they went outside. So when Prabhupada came, he was trying to resolve the situation, so he called them all together in his room, Hawaii. And to the outsiders, he turned and said, do you love me? And they said, yes, Prabhupada. Will you do what I ask you to do? Yes, Srila Prabhupada. I'm asking you to move back in the temple. No, Prabhupada. So that's dishonest. You say you love Prabhupada, you say you'll do what he says, but then when he asks you to move in the temple and get along with the authorities, no, I can't do that. Then you're a rascal. And that rascaldom causes disturbance. And yet, again, you're at liberty to do whatever you want to do, but don't try to be in an organization and destroy that organization or disturb it in any way. If it doesn't match your outlook, then find some other place where your outlook is matched. That's okay, that's acceptable. That's being a gentleman or a lady, being honest. But it's dishonest to stay in an organization that you don't agree with and try to change it to your way of seeing things. Like Prabhupada stressed, we heard in Sunday lecture, the four regulative principles, Prabhupada is stressing that you must follow. And others will say, no, you know, even Prabhupada was here, they were doing it. Swamiji, you know, he's denying us the basics of life, you know. Because the basics of life to them meant intoxication and chasing after the other sex. So some early disciples, they didn't like that Prabhupada finally became strong about that. In the beginning, it was just chant, come and eat, take prasadam, whatever. But then finally, Prabhupada put his foot down. If you want to be my follower, you have to follow these principles and you must chant a certain amount of rounds. And some people became upset. Oh, Swamiji, you're denying us the basics of life. So at least they were honest. And then, you know, they went about and did their own thing. But you can't stay in the organization and try to change what Prabhupada gave you. Not one word of his philosophy. He wanted to polish, that's a different thing, to polish something editorially, but to change the details. Like Prabhupada says, we came from the spiritual world and we're being qualified to go back. That is a detail that you can't change. I don't care what you read elsewhere or what anybody else says. That's a detail that Prabhupada gave us that you can't change. That's the philosophy presented as it is by Srila Prabhupada. And if it doesn't make sense to you, then find some other organization that presents the philosophy in a way that you like it. But don't try to stay in ISKCON and change the basic tenets, points that Srila Prabhupada has made. Make sense? Maharaj?
I thank you for a very illuminating class.
Hi, Krishna.
And it's very wonderful that you've taken a little bit of time to make it very clear that there's no room for speculation in this. Prabhupada has stated this is what we should do, and we should just follow it, even if we don't understand it, even if we don't agree with it. Main thing is do it, because he's in the higher platform, and when you get to that platform, if that's ever even possible, then you can consider deliberating on what he has to say. But until that time comes, we should not. But that was not the point I wanted to bring. The point I wanted to make is that sometimes, and there are occasions, where a person doesn't go to another material planet in the material universe before going back home, back to Gaja, to the original Krishna Loka planet. There are some occasions which we see, unless there's something I don't fully understand on it. For example, Ajamil, some of the assistants of Lord Vishnu, they came down in a plane to take him. He stepped into the plane and then went back directly. And then we have several others like that. Dhruva Maharaj was another example where he got into the plane and then they went right back. And there are a few others. But in general, what you've said not only understood, but should be accepted as the main. We all need to be prepared. We all need to be trained in order to be able to interact in the spiritual world. And yes, therefore, one gets the training by going to another material universe where Krishna is appearing. But all I wanted to emphasize is it's not a hard and fast. There are some exceptions to that.
Yeah, but those exceptions that you mentioned, those are going to Vaikuntha Loka. My understanding is when you're going to Krishna Loka to be in Krishna's pastimes, you have to be trained in the material world where Krishna has appeared. So when Krishna appears in the spiritual world to show those Vrindavan pastimes, if you're going to be a cowherd boy or a cowherd girl or something like directly related to Krishna's pastimes in Vrindavan, then you get sent, because those pastimes are practically constantly going on in the material world. So before you make that jump, and this is also discussed by other acharyas, why is it necessary for that further training? There are some technical details about prema and sneha, etc. But my understanding and the way Prabhupada is presented it is that if you're going to be in those particular pastimes, not like Ajamil or Dhruva, they went to Vaikuntha Loka, so that's different. When you're going to be in Krishna's pastimes as a cowherd boy, a cowherd girl, like somebody with the material instinct like that, these are different rasas that you don't find in the Vaikuntha Loka. So for those particular rasas, you need to be trained up by those particular residents of Vrindavan. It's stated by some acharyas that you have to take shelter, you have to take birth. They actually go as far as saying you have to take birth from the womb of a gopi in Boma, Vrindavan, before you can be trained up properly as a gopi to go back to the eternal spiritual world.
Didn't Putana go directly back and become a nurse of Krishna?
That I can't say. It's possible. I'm just saying, this is my understanding. I don't know everything. I can only present what I've heard.
All I'm saying is that there may be exceptions to this rule.
We should
fix ourselves on what you have just mentioned. But that's all I was mentioning. There is another point that, and sometimes this question comes up, is that, one is Nitya Siddha. Nitya Siddha means he's eternally the servant of the Lord, and he stays with Krishna, unless Krishna, of course, orders him to please go down and help out those souls in the material world. But generally speaking, his obeying Krishna is part of his Nitya Siddha, is that he's eternally a servant, which means he obeys no matter what. If Krishna says, you go down, then you go there to the material world. But the question sometimes arises where those who are in the spiritual world may not be they might not be Nitya Siddha in the sense that they do not have as much love as those who are Nitya Siddhas, meaning that those who have such intense love that they cannot bear for even a moment to be separate from Krishna, and they stay with Krishna unless, as I said, ordered by Krishna, and the order of Krishna is most important. But those who do not have that degree of love, who feel that they who do have reserved some independence, those persons can easily begin to envy or desire to want to be like a Krishna, and because of that independence of mind, they therefore lose their qualification to stay in the spiritual world. And of course, Krishna allows them to experience the position of being a lord and send them back to the material world. So my main point that I was trying to bring is everyone is not the same in the spiritual world. There are different degrees of love. All we love Krishna, but not necessarily on the same to the same intensity. For example, it is mentioned that Srimati Radharani is the most, she loves Krishna the most intensely. And then there are her assistants and associates who also love Krishna very intensely. Point is this, is that if we don't cultivate this very intense love whereby we cannot even stand for a moment to be without Krishna, it is very possible that the independence is still there. We may decide that, I wonder what it feels like to be a lord. I wonder what it feels like to be a master and to be looked up to and to be revered and honored and so forth. So it would seem that that would happen more in the Vaikuntha planet than in the Goloka planet.
Okay, Maharaj, thank you. Brigapati Prabhu, and then we'll end there.
Yeah, thank you, Boom, for addressing a very important issue. So to be a follower of Prabhupada means you accept what Prabhupada says and you prepare to do what Prabhupada instructs us to do. So how do we deal with this? How do we deal with a situation where we can understand that we're seeing how this, here's an instruction from Prabhupada, and it's not being followed. And it's not being followed by people who are definitely in good standing, who we have tremendous respect for. And it's just, I'll give a couple of examples. And I'm just giving these examples, not because I think they're particularly important, but just because they just come to mind. I mean, one of them, like for instance, about a month ago, there was a Sunday feast lecture, a Sunday Prabhupada lecture, where Prabhupada was said in that lecture about two or three times, those who, you know, keep long hair is practically, I don't remember if he used these words, but if you keep hair, you know, everybody has to be shaved up on the bright moon fortnight at least once a month. Everybody has to become clean shaven and just a little, you know, there's different clear statements from Prabhupada that if you're keeping hair, practically you're not even his disciples. He went as far as to say that, you know, on a couple of occasions. So once again, think this is particularly important, that just came to mind. There's another one. With this a letter about don't keep boga and prasadam in the same refrigerator. And if I were to do some research on it, which don't intend to do, you know, I probably could come up with a long list of different instructions which many devotees, myself included, aren't following. So, you know, as you made the point, being a follower of Prabhupada means you accept what he says and you follow the instructions. So how do we deal with this? Could you give us some guidelines? What's the balance? Should we just always turn a blind eye with everybody and just go, well, or whatever, you know? Or should these things be addressed? Should they be brought to that, you know, people's attention? Should they come up in an instant ghosting? Because, you know, that's what being a follower of Prabhupada is, to not just accept what he says, but to follow the instructions. So how do we deal with the, you know, situations where we can see the instructions aren't being followed properly?
Therefore, there's an authority structure. And Prabhupada stressed it himself while he was here. That there's a temple president, every temple has an authority structure. I want you to go through that first. Don't come to me directly for everything. So take it up with the temple president. Obviously, Prabhupada made a lot of statements. Some of them were directly aimed at particular individuals in particular time, place, circumstance. And Prabhupada actually said at one place that he didn't want his letters, for instance, to individuals to be broadcast to everybody because they may be misunderstood. Now, after Prabhupada left, some genius got the idea to put it all together in a book and distribute it to everybody because they were afraid that, which is all right, I'm not knocking it. But Prabhupada himself said he didn't want, if I write a letter to Kriya Shakti, for instance, I don't necessarily want it spread to everybody. That was between me and Kriya Shakti. That was Prabhupada's desire. He actually stated once he didn't want his letters broadcast to everybody. So some statements that we may have found in letters or this and that may not have been meant for everybody. But there's also a hierarchy of importance. Prabhupada himself said, just because I say one thing is important doesn't mean that other things are not important, but still, this is more important. So, who knows? You know, if it had been brought to Prabhupada, you know, that somebody's practicing very nicely, but they're not following this particular whatever, how would he react? Would he get mad about it? I'd like to stop here, if you don't mind, because it's going on. But that's basically my understanding. And there's a hierarchy of importance. Prabhupada may, for instance, I'll give you a very concrete example. Prabhupada was very proud when he would travel. He would say, my disciples don't take any form of intoxication, not even coffee or tea. But once he was in Canada, and an elderly Indian gentleman came to him and said, you know, I'd like to become your disciple. So Prabhupada said, you know the principles and all that. Yes, no problem. He said, but there is one thing that I have to ask. And Prabhupada said, yes. He said, I've been addicted to drinking coffee my whole life. I can't stop. So Prabhupada said, for you, I make an exception. You see? So we can't always think that we know how Prabhupada would react. He was very proud to tell everybody that his disciples didn't drink even coffee or tea. But for this gentleman, okay, I make an exception for you. So I don't want to say that Prabhupada would get heavy with this person because they have hair or whatever. Maybe he'd be so satisfied with whatever else they're doing that he would overlook it. It's not up to me to say that. But in general, on those kind of finer points, example is better than precept. So if I'm thinking that shaving up is very important, then I better be shaved up. And don't flip-flop. We have so many flip-floppers in our society, unfortunately. Like, I don't want to name any names, but there was one person that used to be here in this temple who would say, you're in Maya if you don't go out in full Vaishnava dress to distribute Prabhupada's books. We are Vaishnavas. We should show the public we're Vaishnavas. You must go out wearing Vaishnava gear. And that same person later on now flopped that karmic clothes is, you know, the way. Otherwise, people won't join and that and that. You know, so that kind of flip-flopping we don't want. If you think that shaving up is important, then you shave up. If you think that always being in Vaishnava dress is important, then you should always wear Vaishnava dress. But don't go out strongly preaching like that and then 2 years later you're wearing just the opposite or, you know. So example is better than precept. If you think that it's so important to do such and such, then the best way to get your point across is to do it yourself. Okay, Granthara Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Gaur Bhaktivrinda Ki Jai.
I would say if you come to this morning is going to be a little tight for me, Mr. K, like Saturday morning's class.